Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 1, and we will in a moment be giving reading to verses 8, 9, and 10. The topic for our Sunday school lesson this morning is gross self-deception. Gross self-deception. 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, notice very carefully, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So we're looking at 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Notice each of those verses begin with if. 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 Now back up and look at verse 5. And this is the message that we have heard from Him and announce to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's a bit of a problem. Light and darkness don't mix. God is light essentially, and it is not possible for His nature to be affected by either impurity or error. Now, because God is light, pure light in His very essence, it's His very nature. That means that God will deal righteously with things as they are, not as they appear to be. You see, we most of the time conceive of things as they appear to be. But God sees them as they are. We know this. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Because God is light, He deals with things in the light. If God is to deal graciously with us, we must each one stand in the light and present ourselves before Him as we are. Remember these words, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. That's pretty clear, pretty succinct. There's no ifs, ands, and buts. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. Again, I repeat, we all have the tendency to appear to be what we are not. There are those who lie. Look at 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, probably not anybody else, mostly ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Devoid of truth. When I was growing up, my mom used to say, some people will lie when the truth would sound good. That's what they're made up of. The lie. Note the phrase, deceiving ourselves. That's where I took the title, gross self-deception. In what sense do we deceive ourselves? We are deceived into believing the lie. We're okay, man. No sin. Deceit can so influence us that we put darkness for light and light for darkness. And you see, I want you to follow the reasoning here. There is a sense in which this is at once. Hear me. Our sin and our punishment. Together. Light rejected becomes darkness, sin, and punishment packaged together. They always go together. So light rejected becomes darkness. This increased darkness can lead to the condition that is described for us in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It's a domino effect, chain reaction. Where will it end? It keeps going. Self-propagating. Dear ones, we must judge ourselves severely. Lest our natural tendency to falseness should lead us to false assertion as to ourselves. And then should urge us on till we delude ourselves into the foolish belief that we are what we proudly represent ourselves to be. There's the delusion. There's the deception. Self deception. Our only safe course, and may the Spirit of God give us grace to follow it, is to come to God as we actually are, who we are, what we are, and ask him to deal with us through Christ according to our actual condition. Complete disclosure before God. First of all, now we will deal with the various ways that men say they have no sin. There are those who take the position that each man is born as Adam, originally, without sin, without a depraved nature. And the only way that a person could take this position is to deny the clear teaching of God's Word. Our confession of faith says this: our first parents, by this sin, fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and we in them, whereby death came upon all becoming dead in sin, and wholly defiled in all the faculties and parts of soul and body, a wreck. Not very flattering. Paul uses a little word, A-L-L, when he says, all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. Prophet Jeremiah had some things figured out. He says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Secondly, there are those who say they've arrived at a state of perfection and no longer sin. That's self-deception. Classic. It's contrary to the teaching of Scripture, contrary to experience. The words of our text. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Third, others say they have no sin because they've cleverly done away with it, redefined it. I goofed. That was a big mistake. This is the hang up. These folks might go so far as to admit that technically what they have done is sin, but it is not really sin in the particular situation. I think you can still enroll in college in a course called Situational Ethics. Because of the situation, it's not sin. It's amazing. These have joined the club. They've joined the club who says, we have no sin. God says, you're a liar. Who's right? In whatever form one may deny a sinful nature and or sinful acts, is the same as saying, I have no sin. They've done a masterful job of deceiving themselves. The biggest fool of all. What about this deceit? This deceit is so thorough that it can be said of those who are thus deceived, there is no truth in you. That's pretty drastic and to the point. Really? Really. As the salt flavors every drop of the ocean, so does sin affect every atom of our nature. Did you get that? It permeates. It circulates. To the point that you cannot even wake up to the fact you are deceived. To deceive someone else requires you to be quite clever, quite cunning. But to deceive yourself, requires far more. Our deceitful heart reveals an almost, please listen well, reveals almost a satanic shrewdness of self-deception. That's sobering when you think about it. And sometimes you look at the headlines, you read the news, and of course I work with men in prison and know a lot about what's going on in prisons. Dear one, sometimes you look at an individual and you know what you know about them. Many times you wouldn't have that opportunity. But I sit and I wonder, how could a person ever be like that? You say you have no sin, you have achieved a fearful success. You have put out your own eyes and perverted your own reason, and you have fed upon falsehood till it has entered into your very being and endeared you and rendered you incapable of truth. The truth is not in you. Not even that much. What are some of the ways that men manage to do this? To deceive themselves? Well, they can do it by religion. I'm okay. Join the church. Good as anybody. God sees through it to the very core. And prison, we work with these men. It's amazing how that our dear brethren who were there that are the core of my ministry with these men, they have to live with and deal with every odd and satanic influence under the disguise of religion. Yes, they have approved satanic worship services right there in the prison. So easy to fall into this or that way of thinking and begin to pat yourself on the back. God sees. Well, what is the right course of action? One word, confess. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, that's what they are. Call them what they are. The word is in the plural because our sins are in the plural. In the previous verse, John uses it in the singular. Sins plural means that we are to confess both the inward sin and the outward fruit of that sin. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by practice. And we are to confess the cause. And we are to confess the effect. To confess, what does that mean? Not just to kind of go over a list of things, it means to look at sin as it really is. One of the things you can pray about and seek to have is a biblical view of your sin. How does the Bible define it? How does the Bible see it? How does the Bible deal with it? How does God see that sin? Pray and ask God, God, help me to see my sin as you see it. Help me to have a biblical view of my sin. It's filth. It's degradation. It's abomination. Because that's what we're dealing with. There was a Pharisee one time praying, saying thus to himself, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax gatherer. He wasn't confessing his sin. He was very cleverly proclaiming his righteousness. Publican didn't say much. But what he did say was important. He confessed his sin. The Pharisee was self-deceived. A good object, a good practical picture of someone who is the object of his own self-deception. So, confession is the answer to our self-deception. Realizing as we come to God, God sees every detail of our life. Nothing is hidden from Him. How about David? Psalm 51, his confession. He wasn't excusing it. He was laying open bare his soul before God. He says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's sin, but it can be dealt with. Then, search me, O God, Psalm 139. Search me, O God. There's no one who can do that but God, like God, who knows everything there is to know about us. Nothing that you have ever said or done has ever been hidden from God. Nothing. The right course, deal with God openly, thoroughly. The wrong course, deny it. What did John say in 1 John 1:10? If we say that we have not sinned, it's a problem. It's a serious problem. We make Him, God, a liar, and His word is not in us. That is gross self-deception. There was a time that David experienced this deception. He didn't immediately biblically deal with the sin. He put it off. Tried to ignore it. Tried to get busy. Forget it. Live with it. Excuse it. Turn with me to Psalm 32:3. David says, when I kept silent about my sin. What sin? Sin of adultery and sin of murder. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Deception. Walking around deceived. Grossly deceived. And the thinking, it'll go away. Just ignore it. It'll go away. It didn't go away. It got heavier and heavier. Until we come to verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Go home and read Psalm 51. That's David's dealing with it. So we have the alternative of either hiding it, ignoring it, or dealing with it. And you see, we must constantly keep in mind of these issues, God is not deceived. I don't know that you probably still use this expression. We used to use the expression, he pulled the wool over my eyes. You ever hear that? It means I was deceived. It's an ancient expression. But you don't do that with God. You don't catch him off guard. Period. He knows every intimate detail about your life. And if you don't think so, I tell you, you are grossly self-deceived. Here's another very serious aspect to which we have alluded. Not to deal biblically with your sin is the same as calling God a liar. That's right. God puts his finger on that. Conviction. You excuse it, you laugh it off, you joke about it, you try to forget it. And all the while you're saying, God, you're a liar. It's not sin. I was born that way, with that tendency. It's an abomination. And you're calling God of all truth, the same as saying, God, you are a liar. Is that what you want to do? Well, of course, there are applications that can be made to those who are not saved. Facing God with judgment day honesty. But then there's a word to the saved. It means walking in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with the other. How can darkness and light mix? How can you progress in your Christian life? If you're embracing that darling sin and calling God a liar. Oh, let's pray. Our gracious God, we confess our tendency, the propensity that we have to be self and deceit. We live in a world that promotes that deception. We deal with an enemy who deceived Eve. Lord, deliver us from deception and help us to deal honestly with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.